Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Todd Sadowski, who is, for those of you who have ever seen the Blue White Tailgate TV show, Todd Sadowski, Trey Bauer, and I are the three hosts of the show. Hey, they did not put a nicer person on the face of the earth than Todd Sadowski. So Todd and I were exchanging a couple of text messages here. And so I then finally asked him, hey, by the way, what days are good for you to be on the show? And he says, every day but Bowl Media Day this Friday should be good. So I texted him back, that's the best you can do? So, we're just having a little bit of fun. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Last night, he played lacrosse at Penn State. Now he's catching passes from Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, after the play fake. Deep pass, man running open. Chris Hogan off to the races. Touchdown, New England. No flags on the play.
One of the really great guys. I've always really personally liked and professionally liked Sean McDonough. And I'm thrilled he's got the Monday night thing. He's just he's a real pro's pro, great guy to be around, too. So that's our play-by-play call of the day from last night's Patriots win over the Ravens. They won it 30-23. The Steelers now have sole possession of first place in the vaunted AFC North. I said that for you, Sean.
Appreciate that a lot. Sounded great.
It's not because really the AFC North is not that vaunted.
Not like it used to be.
Yeah, like last year. All right. Like a year ago. Let's bring in Nathan Davis. Coach, first of all, I know that you moved back your time so we could get Kim Jones from NFL Network on. I just want to let you know off the top how much I appreciated that. Thank you.
You're welcome. I just want to say that the NFC East is always the most vaunted division in all of football.
Yes, indeed it is. Between the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Redskins.
The last one being first, by the way.
And that means you line up perfectly with the station owner. Okay?
That's good.
He is a huge Redskins fan. So every week when we do our picks, and we do picks on Friday, Sean, have I ever picked against the Redskins this season?
Negative.
I used to play fantasy football and had to stop because I refused to take anyone else in the NFC East on my team. That was kind of hard.
There you go. Right? And that's that. I completely understand that. And at the same time, I keep picking the Redskins every week because I know where my bread is buttered. All right. Okay, let's get to your basketball team. After the LaSalle game, you played Fairfield, which we were previewing last week. What did you see in the response, the bounce back, that makes a coach feel good about where you are?
You know, I think it's kind of redundant, but I think the thing that stood out to me is the mental toughness our guys showed, which is good. I'm glad that that's what kind of keeps standing out to me is that, I mean, we had played the trip in Vegas. We've been in four time zones or played four games in three different time zones and come back and play a good Richmond team, go to play LaSalle, get beat, have to go on the road, last day of class before exams start. And it's really a battle of attrition and how much can you play through of your tiredness and mentally and physically. And our guys found a way in the second half to really focus in and get the stops we needed, and we're able to win it what ended up being rather comfortably down the stretch.
How have you handled your finals week routine with them? How have you been able to get how much time off and then how many practices?
You know, with the way exams are here, it kind of helps us a little bit with the weekend break in the middle of them. So we played Tuesday last week. Wednesday was a reading day, so they didn't have anything. Thursday was the first day of exams. They had Friday, then they had weekend off, and now they're back at it today. So what we try to do is we give them a couple of days off, and then Friday we just kind of got in and ran up and down after exams were over for the day. Did a little bit more Saturday and Sunday, but can't do a lot because the guys are pretty stressed about it because it's challenging. But do want to keep them as fresh mentally and physically as possible. Then we took the last 2 days off for for the ones that are available tomorrow, we'll get back in the gym and run up and down for about an hour again to try to get some of that going. And then really all of our guys are done tomorrow. And so we'll be able to practice again Thursday and Friday to get ready for Siena.
So when you get Thursday and Friday, is part of Thursday almost like a mini training camp again, or because you've done so much, it doesn't have to be?
I think because we've had the opportunity to do stuff, it won't have to be. And I think really all but one of our guys is available tomorrow. It's really up to them, though, based on what they feel like they need to do as far as class, because that's got to come first, obviously. But they should be able to at least get in a little bit at some point tomorrow and kind of get up and down and get their wind back. And so we should have normal practices Thursday and Friday to get ready for Saturday.
Let me give you a football example to set this question up. John Reed, who was an all-Big Ten performer at corner for Penn State, he's an ultra-serious kid, Coach, and he watches a lot of tape. And what's happened now is that most of the defensive backfield of Penn State now comes in and watches tape with him. Trace McSorley, the quarterback on the other side, organizes tape sessions on Monday where they do this on their own so that when they get into meetings and so forth. Do you have players like that? And how important is tape to you and how the players take that tape?
I think it's vital because it's just another teaching tool. Guys learn different ways. Some learn by seeing it, some learn by doing it. Tape never lies. So you say something all the time, and guys will think, well, I'm not really doing that. You can show them. They go, well, you know what? He's not lying. It's not really what I remember it. So I think one of the things about our guys is they want to win, and so they do look at it a lot on their own, and they actually have access to all the stuff we have. We actually just sent them out. My operations guy sent out some video that one of our assistants put together, some stuff that we want to work on today or moving forward so that they'll have an opportunity to look at it on their own as well and kind of see what we're talking about. So I think any time they can watch video, it certainly helps. And our guys, fortunately, are into it and like to learn and want to be good, so they get in here regularly to see it on their own.
One of the things you want to do, obviously, with any program is build some depth. What kind of competition do you have on the practice floor right now?
Our competition is very good. I really feel like we would be 13 deep, but we've got one guy that's out for the year with the head injury. But with the 12 guys, I think that there's a lot of tight battles. So guys have to come every day ready to go, or they're going to get beat out for minutes. And because of that, guys compete every day and get better every day. And hopefully, as we move forward here and get towards the end of the year, our team will continue to improve because of the daily competition we have.
What you have coming up, too, is you've got, you know, after going 11 days without a game, you're going to have, I think, what, 3 games in a 5-day span. So it starts out with Siena. What's a quick thumbnail on them going up to Glen Falls?
Their record, they've struggled a little bit record-wise this year when you look at it. They've played really good competition. They have an experienced veteran team. Five seniors, actually, off the top of my head, that have played a lot for them and had a lot of success. So they are a physical, pound you in the paint, challenge shots, big rebounding team that is going to be a challenge for us. We're going to have to go out there and play and match their physicality, make sure we take care of the defensive glass, and limit their opportunities.
You have, by my count, 111 combined steals and block shots through 10 games. When you hear that, what does that tell you statistically about your team on the floor?
I think it says that we've got an opportunity to be a good defensive team. I think at times we're strong. Times we're not. Times we don't always finish. But I think that if you look at the overall body of work compared a year ago to now, we are significantly improved. And I think the areas that we need to get better in, we control and can get better in. And hopefully here with the end of exams and having a time where we're going to be here by ourselves and really be able to focus in on basketball, we can make the steps necessary to become a very good defensive team instead of just one that's good.
All right, so how do you feel that this set up of 3 games in 5 days, how important is – every stretch is important, but now the meat of the conference is coming up too. So what does this do to help set that up?
Well, I think from a mentality standpoint, anytime you go into Christmas feeling good about yourself, coming out to get ready to play league games is a good thing. But the biggest thing for us, as always, is we just got to keep getting better. We play 3 teams that are going to be challenges for us with Siena, as we talked about a little bit, Mount St. Mary's, who we were in the midst of finishing up a 4-game series with them, and they've won all 3 of them. And then Princeton's obviously got a very good team coming in on Thursday, so we got to work it out for us. We got to continue to focus on what we control. We got to just get better so that when we get into league play, we can be playing at our best.
After Princeton, how much time do you want to give the players off for Christmas, and when do you want them back for Navy?
We will, so once the game is over, they'll be free to go. Obviously, some of our guys will be flights, they won't go till the next day, but they'll have to be back on the 26th for practice that evening. So we'll get out, and we'll do kind of the same thing. We'll get out and try to run some of the 3 or 4 days off and all that turkey and stuff out of them. And get them a little winded and feeling good so that we can take 3 days going to the Navy and get ourselves ready to play.
You know, the radio station does the same thing to me, Coach. And I come back 26th, he says, Steve, we've got to run that turkey out of you. Come on, let's go.
Great leadership there.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're also, and remember, he's also a Redskins fan. So
that's
just,
right.
Coach, thanks so much. Appreciate it so much. Look forward to talking to you next week as well.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Nathan.
Bye.
Head coach Nathan Davis does a great job as the head coach of Bucknell. Good coach, good man. And we will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Happy holidays from everyone at Penn's Tavern. It's time for gathering friends and family, and Penn's Tavern wants you to make them your setting for your holiday party. Historic Penn's Tavern, recently voted as the Daily Items 2016 Reader's Choice for Best Tavern, is waiting for you. Penn's Tavern has an ambiance that cannot be duplicated. The Sarah Room is the original structure of the tavern. Built circa 1700s, the Sarah Room has original stone walls and wooden floors for an unmatched old world feel. The Wixted Room, overlooking the Susquehanna River, attaches to a more modern River Room pub. The River Room has 12 local microbreweries on tap. And just in time for the holidays, choose Penn's Tavern gift certificates for the perfect stocking stuffer. Purchase 5 gift certificates in the same amount and receive a gift certificate of the same value at no charge. Call to reserve your date and time for a memorable holiday gathering at 570-286-2007 or go to PennsTavern.com. Wishing you all the best, not only during the holidays, but the whole year through, from everyone at Penn's Tavern.
So I'm listening to Erica Shames about Susquehanna Life magazine. When are they going to do a feature on you? I mean, they did one on Lawrence.
Hey, it's kind of funny that you bring that up, because usually 9 chances out of 10 when she comes in to record her commercial, I'm in the studio with her and produce it. And she also does a feature over on 100.9 The Valley called Lifestyle Updates, and they run 2-3 times a day during the workday, and she'll record a bunch of the, a bunch of them in one session, and I usually throw those together too. So, not that I'm hard to find, or she wouldn't be able to find me, or vice versa.
I mean, you're the heart and soul of this whole operation.
I don't know about that, but it's very kind of you to say.
Well, it certainly isn't me.
No. Come on. Beg to differ there. Come on. So,
I mean, really, I show up. My goodness.
That's kind of ironic that Coach Davis brought up being a Washington Redskins fan. For Redskins fans, you want to check out NFL Network tomorrow night on the Timeline Show. They're going to be focusing in on the year that Vince Lombardi coached the Redskins.
You know, that's quite a story, because you know what the funny thing is? Vince Lombardi's record with the Redskins was 7-5-2, right? You know what his record was his first year with the Green Bay Packers, 1959? 7-5. Sonny Jurgensen loved the one season he played for Vince Lombardi. Loved it. The excitement he brought to D.C. was amazing. It was amazing. And that is, I want to say he was vice president, general manager, coach. I don't know if he had 5% of the team or not. But everyone will tell you that was around Lombardi in Green Bay when he relinquished the head coaching job and was just the GM, said he was miserable. That he wanted to be out on the field coaching the whole time. It was miserable. And he goes into D.C., and he got that entire fan base and that football team fired up. because the Redskins were going nowhere, and then he showed up. And then one season after that, then I think that was about the time, like 2 years later, they hired George Allen. I think that's probably right. Then George Allen had that great, and George Allen was a great coach. George Allen would be in that category, name the five greatest coaches to never be a head coach in a Super Bowl. George Allen probably would be, would never have won a Super Bowl, because George Allen coached Super Bowl VII. For the Redskins against the Dolphins, they lost 14-7. But he'd be in the category of, like, among the greatest coaches to never win a Super Bowl. And George Allen, I mean, what he did with the Rams and then what he did with the Redskins. Now, some of that was set up. Some of it was set up by Lombardi in this 1 year. But still. In fact, I believe, if I'm correct, I believe Larry Brown, the great Redskins running back, was drafted or signed by Vince Lombardi. He's the one that actually got him in there. He's the one that found him. So when's that tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.
Ooh, I think I'm going to have to watch that. I think I'm going to have to watch that.
Yep, that's the new series called Timeline.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. I mean, because a lot of people probably don't realize he coached the Redskins for a year. And did. Like, you always get those, like, 1 year here, 1 year there. A lot of people don't realize, oh, he was there for a year? Really? Yeah. Like Bobby Orr. And people realize Bobby Orr ended his career with the Chicago Blackhawks. Really? Orr signed a huge deal with the Blackhawks and then wouldn't take the money. Because he said, I'm hurt, I haven't played, so I didn't earn it. Orr's a different guy. Different guy. Oh. All right. Let's see. 20 days to the Rose Bowl. Figured I'd throw that in. We'll have it for you on News Radio 1070 WKOK with a 5 o'clock kickoff. Kickoff's actually 5:10. 5 o'clock kickoff and a 3:30 airtime for the Dietz and Watson tailgate show from Pasadena, California. At some point we'll get the whole gang on here to talk about it again. You know, Jack, we'll get Jack on the show at some point. Derek Williams. Get them on to talk about it. Bowl Media Day here, by the way, is going to be on Friday. It's snowing pretty good here right now, Sean. Here in State College, it is snowing. They're only going to get an inch or two here, but it's coming down pretty good right now.
Yeah, my wife's got a dinner date in Bellefonte tonight. I said, take it slow and easy. She's got the Jeep, so it's all good. Jeep is repaired and ready to go.
Perfect. All right. Now, the question I'm going to ask later in the week, I want everybody to file this away. And we're going to do this over, like, the next week, you know, and drop it in a couple different times. Tickets fall out of the sky. Two of them. Good seats, between the 40s. But see, the Steelers play the Ravens. Division title on the line. But the question isn't as simple as that. It's Christmas Day in Pittsburgh. Do you go? Now, that's one of those fun talk show questions. If the tickets just materialize, a little bit of holiday magic out of the sky, and suddenly you have two tickets, which you didn't have to pay for, between the 40s, Heinz Field, Pittsburgh, Ravens, Steelers, but Christmas Day at 4:25. What do you do? What do you do? And realistically, to be there on time, you know, so you're settled in okay, you'd probably have to leave about 10:30, 11 in the morning from the Valley to get there in time. It was about a four-hour trip to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, pretty close.
All right, so you'd have to leave like 10:30 to get there at between 2:30 and 3. For a 4:30 kick. So my question is, would you go? and there is no right or wrong answer. It's all based on your life and how you feel about things. So file that away. I think that's a great question for Facebook, Twitter, and on the air with calls as well. By the way, CBS Sports put out the first quarter report cards for the NBA. I didn't even know they were at the quarter pole.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Lawrence Show is a little too complicated for me. I'm listening to that promo, and even I was confused.
Actually, they had a very well-rounded guest this morning. Enjoys poker and Broadway shows.
Poker and Broadway shows. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, very savvy economic money guy from Susquehanna.
Well, there you go. Now, see? That's our kind of guy. He can relate to the entire audience.
Yeah, ran the gamut.
That's perfect. All right, let's bring in Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle. Rich, welcome. Great to have you with us. Now, look, Rich, before we get to the Penn State football story, we all know you're a Yankee Packer guy, so let's start with the Yankees. What did you think about Aroldis Chapman re-signing with the Yankees when you combine it with the fact that the Yankees already took several Cubs prospects anyway, so it actually ends up great for them?
I think the price is a little steeper than I would like, but considering how much money came off the books, I'm okay with it. And you're right. You look at the Cubs got Chapman as a rental for 2 months, 3 months, counting the playoffs, and the Yankees got some really, really good prospects, especially Gleyber Torres, who's looks like he's going to be ready to play sometime before the 2018 season.
Your guy Aaron Rodgers, sore calf.
Yeah.
But the last couple of weeks, they look a lot better. What do you think their chances are?
Well, I thought the Seattle game was a huge game.
Yes.
And, you know, they played with a sense of urgency, there's no question about it, and Seattle really didn't need the game, honestly. When you look that they finish against the rest of the NFC West, Rams, 49ers, and Cardinals, they're going to be the number two seed unless the Cowboys really foul this up. So they didn't really need the game, and I don't want to take anything away. The Packers looked good. They played well. I like the situation they're in because they have the Bears on the road, home against the Vikings, and finish against the Lions. The Lions play on the road the next 2 weeks against the Cowboys and the Giants. As long as they lose one of those two games, the last game of the year will be for the division championship, and I like our chances.
Right. I would, too. It's, you know, one thing is that people don't realize how beat up Green Bay's secondary is. To me, that's the biggest. That's what's kept them, you know, you can concentrate on Rodgers. I don't know how far back is Jordy Nelson, but their safeties are beaten up.
And how about their linebackers?
Yeah.
Matthews is playing with one shoulder, more or less. Jake Ryan's playing hobbled. Blake Martinez was out. I'm missing one other guy. But, you know, they've been really, really banged up on their the back seven on defense. So we'll see. It's not going to be easy. But, you know, with Matthew Stafford suffering, torn ligaments in his throwing hand and his finger, you know, we'll see how he does. So, it'll be interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, which I didn't think 2 weeks ago, by the way, or 3 weeks ago.
Exactly. Now, nobody would have thought that.
No. Sort of like Penn State season.
Right, exactly. Now you've had 9 to 10 days to absorb and had a chance to reflect on this.
Mm-hmm.
What has reflection given back to you? I mean, is it still the same thought you had as you watched it play out, or is it a little bit different now?
You want to talk about the game?
I want to talk about where they are, or the whole thing? The whole thing.
Well, what I'm amazed at since I've been back in Pennsylvania is how many people are just in awe and in wonder about what this team has accomplished. And these are people that have been Penn State fans a long time. I know I heard from one and saying, you know, we've been waiting so long for something good to cheer about, and this team has it. And I really think this team, the way they've improved, way it's improved from the beginning of the season to the end, and when we talked about the last time, I think that last time we were on, and the way that they have won games is by coming back in the second half with an explosive offense. I really think that this team has captured the imagination of the fan base.
Yes, yep. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I know other people I've talked with, they say that bowl packages in their area to travel out there went like that. Same story in your area?
I don't know, Steve. I can't say that. I just know from my arrangements, it's not cheap. And for Penn State to sell out its allotment within hours or whatever it was,
right,
tells you a lot. It tells you a lot. Yeah.
Now, the game itself, the Wisconsin game,
mm-hmm,
as you sat there and watched that play out, now in retrospect, what do you think?
This might sound crazy, but I am more surprised by the comeback against Wisconsin than the comeback against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the
style
of defense, yeah. Style of offense, right? Style. Don't forget the style of offense,
no,
right?
Style,
right.
Style of offense was that I was going at because they could choke,
yep,
the clock.
Correct. And the whole, like, a 28-7. Oh yeah, Penn State came back from a 28-7 hole against Pitt. This wasn't the Pitt defense. This was Wisconsin's defense. They're legit defense, and for Penn State to outscore Wisconsin 31-3 in the last 16 minutes of the game, or excuse me, 31 minutes of the game, just incredible.
Yeah, incredible indeed. When you were on the field,
mm-hmm,
not just on the field, but then had a chance to get a little access, locker room, and so,
yeah,
forth, you know, and talking with these players, where's, mm-hmm, the confidence level now compared to the same guys you talked to in September?
I think there was belief in faith, in trust in the coaching staff, and yeah, you know, we're going to be okay, that kind of thing. But I think the success that the team has tasted this year has raised its confidence to an entirely new level, brimming with confidence. You can't overstate that. How much confidence this team has right now.
No question about that. And when you look at, I mean, with everything they have now,
mm-hmm,
in place, everybody talks,
mm-hmm,
about the potential of Ohio State. And Ohio State does have great potential.
Mm-hmm.
You and I know that.
No question.
What do you see as the potential here?
Well, I mean, this wasn't supposed to happen until, I mean, I didn't see this happening until for another 2 years, not next year. I mean, I thought next year they take a step up, win 9 or 10 games, maybe, you know, depending on how things fell. You know, this program is set up for success over the next 3-4 years, and we can't go past that because we don't
right,
know. But
right,
for the next 3 or 4 years, it's set up to have, and not just winning records, to have very good success.
What's the attitude? You talk about, I mentioned bowl packages. When you,
mm-hmm,
talk to fans in your area,
mm-hmm,
what do they tell you, Rich?
Well, they just can't get over. They can't get over how this team, what it's done over the last 2 months, 2.5 months. I mean, they just can't. They and it's a, there's a, you know, smiles, and you know, I ran into somebody I hadn't seen probably since before the Ohio State game, just this, or, you know, late this morning, and he worked in sports at one time, and he's a big sports fan, big Penn State fan, and he just said, he goes, this is incredible, and it is. I mean, you know, as somebody who's followed sports, to me, the best stories are the ones that are unexpected. There's right. No doubt about that, and this is as good a story as I've covered, and I'm talking about the whole season. It's as good a story as I've covered.
Each week, can you take us through your mind each week of it? And I'm talking once the streak started, starting with Minnesota.
Yeah.
Now, what was your mindset watching it each week? Because we do these weekly report cards. I mean, everything's a weekly report card in football because of the distance between games. What were your weekly report cards as the 9 weeks went?
Oh, I don't remember what it was, but I could tell you this. I thought coming out of the Michigan game that the two games before Ohio State were the Minnesota and Maryland game were as big or bigger than the Michigan game.
Right.
That they were at home.
Agreed.
Yeah, you know, they're coming. You're coming off this bad loss. That they needed those two wins in a big way. And before the Ohio State game, and I was thinking, okay, Ohio State, I'm figuring going into Ohio State, they'll play them well, but I forget the score I predicted, but they're not going to beat Ohio State. I didn't think that. I don't think a lot of people thought that. Come on, let's be honest. But I remember, you know, I was going back over things. I'm going to put a plug in. I write for Lindy's, which puts out preseason issues for college football and college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I got contacted last week. They are putting together, and I would think it might be on newsstands as early as the end of this week, special edition commemorating Penn State's championship season.
Wow.
And I had to write a story. They asked me to write a story on James Franklin. And I looked back, and James, I remember asking him after the Minnesota game, how badly did everybody need this win? And he said, I forget the exact words now, he says, we needed this win badly, everybody. You know, everybody, we needed this win badly. And since then, they have not looked back. Like he said, since Irv Charles' catch, they really haven't looked back.
Hmm. Yeah, the college football playoff is obviously going to take place on the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Penn State fans are absolutely locked in on, you know, they've had their say in terms of how they feel about how the playoff was determined. Now they've had their say in terms of selling out all the tickets for the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Does the college football playoff, which determines the national champion, does it overshadow everything else, including New Year's Six games?
No. Not in this case. Not in Penn State's case
right.
This year. No.
Uh-huh.
No. No, I don't know. Maybe as I get older, I was tired of seeing on Sunday, the day after the game. I was still in Indianapolis until 6 o'clock Sunday night, writing the stories of that day. And I was really, I heard from friends texting on Twitter, they were all outraged and everything. And this, where they're going, and I'm not trying to be Pollyannish about this, but holy cow, you're going to the Rose Bowl.
I know.
And you're playing USC, which is number 9 in the country. Are you kidding me? You know, like, come on. You know, like, to me, I love the Rose Bowl.
So you and me both.
I absolutely, like,
you and me both.
I am so excited to be going.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be like you the third time.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, geez, celebrate that. Don't get yourself caught up in. It's an imperfect. Let me backtrack. I told them it's an imperfect system because it is college. This is not. This doesn't determine a true national champion. This isn't inviting 68 teams in the like the basketball tournament does, right. You're fighting four teams. Right. This is better than two. Is it perfect? Hardly. And so you were left out at number five. Like, it's not a true national championship to me. I mean, it is, and whoever wins it, probably Alabama,
right.
will be celebrated as such, and that's fine. But don't get, like, come on. You know, celebrate this. I mean, my goodness, this is like this is huge
yeah.
to me, especially from where this program has been the last 5 years.
No question. I mean, no question about that. I completely agree with that, and I think part of it too is that our generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
You and I grew up on the Rose Bowl.
Uh huh.
Well, now to see Penn State in there and to be there, that I think that it just adds to the overall experience compared to what we had growing up. I mean, just because we know in our generation what it means.
Right, without a doubt, Steve. I mean, I think it to me it's still special. It's still the Rose Bowl.
You got that right. Yeah. Let me put it this way. You're sitting there and looking at the San Gabriels and the Arroyo Seco, and you're looking around going, hey, all right. This is pretty good.
You know, a year and a half ago, one of my sons lives out there, and unfortunately he's going to be here while the Rose Bowl game is being played because, we made plans for him to be here for the holidays. But I took my wife. She's never been to the Rose Bowl, and she can't make it this year because of her work responsibilities. Right. And I took her down there, and she said, we were standing outside the stadium, you couldn't get in, and she said, wow, this is really nice. I said, just the whole setting. And, you know, I'm excited by it. To me, you know, I can say this now, you know, I was not hoping for a Cotton Bowl date against Western Michigan.
Nobody was. No.
No, that's a no-win situation. And not that AT&T Stadium is beautiful. I've been there once, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But this is special. Two top 10 teams, Rose Bowl. I'm really looking forward to it.
I think that sums it up perfectly. Rich, thanks so much. Always enjoy talking to you. Really do. Thanks.
Steve, my pleasure. We'll see you on Friday.
You bet. All right. Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, this was another fun day today. Our thanks to Nathan Davis, the basketball coach at Bucknell. They've got Sienna coming up on the road up in Glens Falls. Our thanks to Rich Scarsella, the Reading Eagle. And our thanks to Kimberly Jones from NFL Network, who joined us today. Tomorrow, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, and Neil Kulong on the show tomorrow.
We're also going to be talking to an author. He runs Pittsburgh Sports Daily, and he was able to interview close to 400 former Steelers for a book.
Are any of them any good?
Let's see. Captain Andy. We'll just work our way down from there.
Okay, so I text Trey Bauer. Okay. Now, Sadowski said, I told you Sadowski wide open, right? So I text Trey Bauer about doing the show. Now, you got to remember it's Trey, okay? Do I have to?
He's a fun guy.
Yeah. He texted me, do I have to? I texted him back, make your own mistakes. I'll tell you, it makes a huge difference when you're doing something around people. You're like, Sean is a perfect example. Kevin Herr is a perfect example. Jack Ham, Derek Williams, Roger, Jeff Tarman, Dick Girardi, Todd Sadowski, Trey Bauer, you know, same thing. When you're having a good time with people, you know?
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.